Hello and welcome to Slycast, the Sylvester Stallone fan podcast. And today we have a very exciting special episode for you. It is our honor and privilege to bring on Vince DiCola. And everybody knows who Vince DiCola is through his relationship with Sly, but he's known for a lot of other things as well. Vince, welcome.
Thank you, and hi everyone.
I want to thank you in advance again for taking the time to sit down and chat with us.
My pleasure.
Yeah, and I also want to thank BJ over at the Rock End or Roll podcast for getting us in touch with each other. So thanks again. Yeah. So Vince, you were born in Pennsylvania and moved out to California in the early 80s?
Yes, 1981 to be exact. Got married in May, and we drove across the country in June.
So did you know Frank Stallone prior to your move, or was that a relationship that developed once you were in California?
That developed as a result of me playing a restaurant chain out here called the Red Onion. It was a Mexican restaurant, and they had live music. And I was playing in a band at one of the Red Onions. I think it was in Woodland Hills. And this guy came in the club. I saw him come in. Of course, the lighting was such that I didn't know who it was. I couldn't recognize him, obviously, but he approached me on a break, and you know, as he got closer to me, I did recognize the face because he looked so much like his brother. Mm-hmm. And he told me that he was doing a band here in Los Angeles. He had a band together, and they needed a keyboard player, and would I be interested in auditioning? And he really likes my playing, and he took me out to his car and played me some of his original material. And I went down a few days later to where the band was rehearsing and played a couple tunes with them. And Frank offered me the job to play with him.
Oh, wow. Excellent. So that organically led to you guys working together on the music that was featured in Stayin' Alive.
Absolutely.
Now, did you have much interaction with Sylvester when you guys were working on Stayin' Alive? Or was it more just you guys made music and it was submitted for the film?
Well, at first, the way I found out about it, you know, this was my first big professional composing job, and we were rehearsing on a soundstage down at, I believe it was MGM, and because Sly had gotten Frank this big soundstage for the band to rehearse, and it was really nice. And one day, Sly and his entourage came down, and we all were introduced, and he was a very nice guy to talk to. And during one of our breaks, Sly took Frank over into a corner and was discussing something with him. And then Frank came back and we rehearsed some more, and Sly and his people left. And after rehearsal was over, Frank came over and told me that he had just been informed by his brother that he was writing and directing the sequel to Saturday Night Fever. And would I be interested in writing some music along with Frank to submit to for the movie? And I said, absolutely.
Wow, excellent. And we covered that film on this podcast quite a few episodes ago, and we're all really big fans of the music, and Far From Over is a great tune, and I think the music for that movie is just important as the movie itself, much like Saturday Night Fever. So what was your takeaway after seeing the finished film?
You know, they used Far From Over much more than I expected them to in the movie, and I loved that, of course. I thought the way they used our music was phenomenal. I loved the look of the movie. I thought it was a worthy sequel to a very big movie. It was a hard task for Sly to take on, but I think he succeeded in flying colors. And I was blown away with the final product.
Excellent, excellent. And did that pretty much spiral into working on Frank's first album?
Absolutely. It wasn't too long after that an opportunity came up for Frank to do a record. And I think it was Polygram Records that offered him a contract. And because of my affiliation with Frank, and by that time we had worked together quite a bit, and he asked me to be involved with the record. Would I like to write some songs with him and co-produce with him? And of course I said, absolutely. And we had some fun.
Yeah, yeah. So that was your first time really, you know, making an album from start to finish and in a producer's role as well?
Yes, absolutely. It was my first opportunity. And I mean, I had played on records from other artists before, but this was my first time to really get in under the hood, so to speak, and be involved from the ground up.
Are there any cool stories from those sessions?
Yeah, there's actually one. I mean, have you ever had Frank on, by the way?
We have not actually, Vince. You are our first guest who has any kind of relation to Sylvester, and we've been a little hesitant. But if you have inroads to Frank and want to get us in touch, I would love to talk to Frank about his experiences.
You know, I actually don't have any contact information on him. There's a possibility that I know somebody that can get to him, but and I will get back to you separately on that, Craig, if that's okay.
Oh, that's perfect. So what's your story?
And the reason I had asked if Frank was on, because I'm sure he would tell this story as well.
Okay.
So Frank and I, along with another co-writer and friend of ours named Joe Esposito, co-wrote five songs, knowing the script, the script points that Sly had given us. We wrote five songs and we submitted them. Frank paid to have them recorded in a professional studio, and we submitted them to Sly, and Sly hated all five of them. Of course, that was a big disappointment. But I credit Frank with this next step that he didn't give up. He came over to me one day, over to my house. I was living in a house with other musicians at the time, and we had this garage. It was kind of a community little music workshop, if you will. And we had a little bit of equipment, some keyboard equipment, some recording equipment. And Frank came over one day and he said, "Listen, Vince," he said, "I know my brother turned down these all five songs, but I think I know what he's looking for, and we didn't give it to him in the first batch." And I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And Frank had the idea to write an up-tempo, high-energy tune. And I sat at the piano in this garage, and Frank had a little boombox that he brought over, and I just started playing, and all of a sudden came up with the keyboard hook. And started playing, and Frank started just singing, like nonsense syllables, but had a melody in mind. And I think literally it was within 15 minutes that we had the roots of the song together. And afterwards, Frank said to me, "Listen, I'm going to take this cassette tape at the time, and I'm going to go over right to my brother's house and play it for him." I said, "Frank, I really wish you wouldn't do that when it's not, we haven't even professionally recorded it yet." And of course, the first batch that we handed in, it was professionally recorded, and he turned down all those songs. So I just think, to give ourselves enough of a chance, let's wait until we can have an opportunity to record this properly. And he said, "No, I have a gut feeling." Anyway, that same night, I remember my wife and I went out to eat at some restaurant near our house. And when we got back, we had this little white answering machine at the time, and we got back and it looked like there was one message, and I played the message back, and it was Sylvester Stallone, and he was saying to me, "Home run, Vinny," as he put it. And not only did he love the song and love the energy of the song, but once we completed the song and it got put in the inserted into the movie, he went back to the previous five songs and took them all back into the movie.
Oh wow, and that song was Far From Over?
Far From Over.
Oh wow. That's a great story, Vince. Thank you for
Isn't it?
that.
You're welcome. I love telling that story.
So, how did it go from you working with Frank and being in Frank's band and contributing the music to Stayin' Alive to taking over the scoring duties for Rocky IV?
Well, how can I put this? It's a lot of elements working together in my favor for this. As you know, in the entertainment industry, it goes beyond talent. It takes a lot of luck and being in the right place at the right time. And my manager at the time was Frank's manager, a guy named Robin Garb. And Robin also happened to be the music supervisor on a lot of Stallone's movies, including Staying Alive. And I signed with Robin soon after Staying Alive came out. And Robin called me up one day in 19, I believe it was 84, and said, "Listen, there's an opportunity that has come up, and it's a long shot. I'm going to warn you of that ahead of time." But he said, "Sly has had, he's preparing another Rocky movie, and he has had a falling out with Bill Conti, who who of course scored the first three Rocky movies. And he is open for, you know, he's looking, actively looking right now for another composer. And he said, here's what I suggest. I am going to feed you script ideas as I get them from Sly. I'm not going to tell him anything about you just yet. And I want you to compose some pieces of music and put a demo together, record it to the best of your ability with whatever funds you can scrape together or whatever you can do in your little recording studio in your apartment. And when the time comes, I'm going to present this demo to Sly. So Robin would feed me these script points. Like, of course, it was a Rocky movie, so we knew there was going to be a training scene. Mm-hmm. We knew there was going to be a fight scene, a major, you know, boxing scene. And he also told me about a death, famous death of a character, which we all know at this point about in Rocky IV. And he said there's going to be a funeral scene for that. And, you know, he would feed me these plot points. And I would sit in my studio by myself and I would write these themes. And then I decided to approach a friend of mine who lives in Lake Charles, Louisiana, named Ed Frugier. And Ed ended up being my co-producer on Rocky IV. And I flew to Lake Charles, and Ed had access to not only did he have his own recording studio, state-of-the-art recording studio, but he had access to a local university orchestra.
Oh, wow.
And we put a demo together that was very impressive, to say the least. And we covered all the themes that I had written in my apartment out in Los Angeles. And one day, Robin called me and he said, listen, well, let me backtrack. I'm getting ahead of myself. We put this tape together and put it on a high quality cassette because that was the best available option at that point. And Robin called me one day. I obviously gave the cassette to him. And he called me one day later and said, I got to tell you a story. He said, I was in Sly's trailer today on a break from the production. And he said, I had your tape with me and I had a little Walkman player, cassette player at the time, and good quality headphones. And he said, I sat Sly down because we had a couple minutes and I put the headphones on and I said, just listen to this. He didn't tell him anything about me. He didn't even tell him what was on the cassette. And he started playing the very first piece, which ended up being Training Montage from Rocky IV. And he said, within a minute, Sly jumped out of his chair and said, you know, who is this? What is this? And then Robin filled him in, told him who it was. Sly said, you mean it's the guy that wrote the stuff for Staying Alive with my brother? And Robin said, yeah, it's Vince. And he said, let's hire him. And that's how that all began. And it was being not only having the right music to play at the right time, but, you know, having the right connections, as is the case most frequently.
Wow. So that's an amazing story there. And yeah. It's insane to think that, you know, your existing relationship didn't really factor into that. That's really amazing. Now, two things I want to ask you, Vince.
Sure.
Knowing that you were going to be demoing music for a Rocky film, three questions, I guess. What was your prior experience your experience with the Rocky franchise prior to that? And then also, how did you approach the music and Bill Conti's iconic music and how you might incorporate that? And then also, were you or was there a conscious decision to use, I believe it's the Synclavier?
Synclavier, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let me start with the first question. The only previous experience I had with any of the Rocky movies was on Rocky III. I sang on the soundtrack along with not lead. Frank was singing lead, but I sang. I don't remember specifically what the music was that was needed for Rocky III where there were vocals involved. But Frank got me and a couple of friends together in a studio, and we ended up singing on the soundtrack. And that was my only experience with a Rocky movie. And
well, I mean, you had seen those movies. You were familiar with those movies.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, Rocky I was at the time and still is one of my favorite movies of all time. And as to your second question, how did I approach the music and, you know, the whole Bill Conti thing, you know, it was sort of self-explanatory because I had been so familiar with Bill Conti's music for the first movie and the second movie and the third, of course. And I knew that because it was a Rocky movie, there were some things that absolutely needed to be present in the music. You know, obviously brass fanfare was a big part. Uplifting, you know, triumphant, all those elements and all those elements that Bill Conti incorporated into his music so well, I knew to a certain degree had to be present in whatever music that I wrote for Rocky IV. And it was a challenge. And I kind of took a chance in branching out into my own style separate and apart from Bill Conti. And it just, you know, it just fell into place that when I put these demos together, I really wanted to do an updated, you know, what I imagine and envision would be an updated version of Bill Conti's music, but yet with my own stamp on it. And from the time I presented the demo to Robin, my manager, all through the process, there was very little incidents that I remember that Sly said to me, oh, I don't like this, do this differently. He pretty much left me alone, and I just approached it the way I felt, you know, my gut feeling, and I got lucky. I mean, again, I know talent has something to do with it, of course, but I got lucky in that the music that I created just at that time happened to be the kind of music he was looking for Rocky IV.
Right, right. And how did the synclavier come into play? Was that something you had already been experimenting with?
When I did Staying Alive, I was introduced to a gentleman named Casey Young by a fellow producer friend of mine named Charles Colello. And I had done some sessions for Charlie, and Casey had done some sessions as a synth programmer at the time for Charlie. So Charlie introduced Casey and I, and Casey was a big factor, was a major element in the instruments that we used for Staying Alive. And he didn't have the synclavier at that time, but we had developed such a close relationship, Casey and myself, through Staying Alive, that when it came time for me to do Rocky, I called Casey again. And by that time, Casey had bought a synclavier. And, you know, it was part of his big arsenal of synthesizers. He had such a great collection of old and new technology at the time. And the Synclav was a big part of it. And we actually went on to use that for Transformers the movie, which I scored shortly after doing Rocky IV. So I was introduced to the Synclavier by Casey.
Mm-hmm. Now, getting back to the overall score, were you composing two images at any point?
No, I was composing purely to the plot points that Robin was feeding me as the production progressed. And the two pieces, training montage and war, which was for the main fight scene in the movie with Drago and Rocky, they ended up on the soundtrack as we first recorded them, which was, you know, a great thing because we really took time, and we were lucky to have access to an orchestra at the time that we did the demo, and we produced it, and we hired an engineer. In fact, Tony Papa, who I'd worked with previously, was the engineer who happened to work for Scotti Brothers, which was the record company that was attached to Rocky IV. Mm-hmm. So we had all these elements in place, and because we had recorded it so well from the get-go, everybody decided that the versions that we recorded for the demo were good enough to put on the soundtrack. Now, they were used in the movie but had to be adjusted because, obviously, when the movie was finished and all the visuals were put together, you know, we had to adjust the music to the picture. Mm-hmm. So there are actually two versions of both of those pieces, training montage and war, although the themes remained the same.
Okay, and this sort of leads to a question we had gotten from one of our listeners who, ironically enough, is named Vinny, and he asked if there's any unused music and if and when it will ever be available.
No, there actually isn't. I mean, I'm trying to think. There was a lot of unused music for Staying Alive, but not for Rocky IV. And I think that was because the production moved along so quickly, and the only thing that did not make it onto the soundtrack or into the movie, I had done my own version of Gonna Fly Now, and that did not make it on. I don't think it was because Sly didn't like it. I think it was just because there was no need for it in the movie. They had enough music. They didn't have to use the original theme. I mean, I quoted Gonna Fly Now a few times through the score, as I had to. I mean, I knew from the beginning when I got into it that that was going to be necessary. Mm-hmm. But I did my own version of Gonna Fly Now that actually ended up on a release by a company called Entrada Music. And it's entrada.com. For anybody that's interested, they released my entire instrumental score a few years ago to Rocky IV, and they put it on CD and vinyl. And the version of Gonna Fly Now that I did for the movie is on that record, and it really sounds great. Still holds up after all these years.
Oh, excellent. And I'll search that down, and I'll include a link in our show notes. So, Vince, some great insight there into Rocky IV, and thank you for that. And I know we have limited time, and that Rocky IV sort of led into Transformers?
Yes. Transformers, the movie, the original animated movie in 1986. And the way that came about was the producers actually approached me because they loved the music to Rocky IV so much, and they thought that that musical style could be adapted to their movie, which, of course, was quite a different movie, but it still had some elements of, the triumphant thing, the good versus evil, the whole thematic stuff from Rocky IV. And I had composed 35 minutes, maybe 37 minutes of music for Rocky IV, whereas for Transformers, I had to do 70 minutes of music, and it had to be composed, recorded, and mastered within 6 weeks. And, that's another incident where they let me do my thing. They let me alone, and I had no time to even think of doing alternate versions, although there were some alternate versions that existed after the fact. But the Rocky IV opportunity absolutely led to me doing Transformers the movie.
Well, I got to tell you, Vince, when I sort of reached out to our listener base to let them know that we were sitting down and if they had any questions, the response back was overwhelming. There's so many people out there that love your work on both those films. And Staying Alive, and also how much it means to them, and then also how much it's inspired our listeners in the gym.
Yeah, I heard. I mean, I know that. I hear that all the time, and I love that.
Excellent. Was there any intentional callbacks to any of the Rocky IV stuff?
You know what? In two instances, and one was Paulie's robot. We the little robot that he presents to Paulie for his birthday, which is, you know, kind of a funny scene. The first cue that I submitted, Sly wasn't happy with. He said it needs to be, it was too evil sounding. He said, it needs to be evil, but it also needs to be lighthearted. Not too evil. I think that's the wrong word. I think he said it was too dark.
Okay.
And so we went in a second time, and it was a little bit more to his liking, but it took three tries before we got it right in his mind. And I think there was a couple of things in war, in the fight scene in the movie, that he had me change just because of he wanted it to go with the picture just a little bit more. He wanted some of the accents in the music to go with more of the hits in the punches and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that only required some slight adjustment. And we did that and went back with the final product, and he loved it. And that was the only two incidents I remember in the whole score where he asked me to do something different.
Right, right. All right. So again, I want to thank you, Vince, for taking the time out to talk with us. And hopefully, if and when you ever have anything you want to talk about, you give us a call so we can get updates from you. Is there anything you want to let everybody know about that you're currently working on?
There are a number of projects I'm currently working on. I have an official Facebook page, Vince DiCola Official, and that will have all this information on it. But there are 3 band projects, hopefully all coming out this year, that I am a big part of. One is called Cannonballs. Another is called Saga Star. And the third is called Figurehead. And Cannonballs is sort of West Coast melodic rock and roll genre. Saga Star is a slightly progressive rock offering, and Figurehead is a very progressive rock project that I have been working on with my partner Doan Perry, who is the drummer, was the drummer for Jethro Tull for a number of years, decades actually.
Nice.
So that record hopefully is coming out before the end of this year. The other 2 records will be hopefully coming out within the next 6 months. And I continue to do some video game scoring work with my partner, Kenny Meredith, my composing partner. We just completed a couple of projects that I can't talk about because we've been forced to keep it a secret until they actually are released. And I played a live gig in January that I was really excited about back in New Jersey. It was called MAGFest, and it's Music and Games Festival is what it stands for. And it was the first time, the reason I'm bringing it up, it was the first time I was able to play a lot of this music that we've been talking about today live with an actual band. And I did Training Montage, and I did War, and I did some pieces from Transformers the movie. And it just turned out great. It can be found online. If they go to magfest.com, look up the band Lonely Rolling Stars, because that was the band that had me as a guest star. Mm-hmm. And they are the musicians that played this material with me. So if your fans can go to magfest.com and find Lonely Rolling Stars featuring Vince DiCola, there is some great footage. They really went all out on the production for this gig that I did, and I'm very proud of it. And it can be found easily on YouTube.
Excellent. That's exciting. And I'll include a link to your Facebook as well as to that website in our show notes, so nobody has to search too hard for it. Now, Vince, before I let you go, in some of my research for this interview, I read that you were a big fan or are a big fan of Jerry Goldsmith. Is that true?
Yeah, Jerry Goldsmith's music was way ahead of its time, and he is one of my favorite film composers. And of course, he was involved with Stallone on Rambo.
Yeah,
and I loved his music for that. Jerry Goldsmith always brought an element, and I always felt this way, an element of rock to orchestral music that no other composer did before him. And yeah, I'm a big fan of Jerry's.
Awesome. When I saw that, it made me smile because we love Jerry here at the Slycast, and we miss him every day. But his contributions to the movies that he made will never be forgotten. So, Vince, if there's nothing else you want to share with us, I'd like to thank you again for taking the time out of your schedule to chat with us. I know it was a big honor for me, and unfortunately my co-hosts weren't able to make it. I know our listeners are really anxious to hear this episode as well. So again, thank you. And if there's anything else you'd like to share before we finish, the floor is yours.
Well, I would say one important thing to the fans. I am very lucky and blessed to have as many fans of this music that I wrote so long ago that still love to listen to it. They, you know, it's been great word of mouth over the last 32 years for both Rocky IV and Transformers the movie. And it was proven to me when I appeared at MAGFest in January that I have some avid fans, and it continues to amaze me because of how long ago this music was written and produced. And I just want to give a shout out to all the fans. Thank you so much for continuing to support my music and my music career, and to continue to listen to Rocky IV and Transformers. And I love the fact that a lot of people still mention it as inspiration to them, and that means more than I can say.
Oh, excellent. Thank you for that. And thank you again, Vince, for taking some time out of your schedule to chat with us.
My pleasure.